ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. We feel very needy and very dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. The burden that the Lord has given to me is on the subject of the nature of the Spirit. The nature of the Spirit. In John in the 14th chapter, we read a few weeks ago, and I want to start back over there. As we looked at the gift of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, Jesus gave us information about the Holy Spirit. And in the 14th chapter of John, in the 26th verse, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then in the 16th chapter of John, in the 13th verse, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So one of the major purposes of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, and it is to guide us, and it is to direct us. But how do we know this morning what's right and true? Because there are a lot of influences out in the world. There's a lot of voices out in the world, as it were. And so how do we know what is right? How do we know what is true? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide us. But sometimes you get conflicting guidance, don't you? Well, you feel one influence is telling you to go this way, and you're being influenced by another spirit to go this way. Sometimes those spirits take the form of people in your life. And people will tell you, do this or don't do that, or go this direction or that direction. There is a spirit of the world that is influencing us to do certain things. There is the spirit of the flesh that comes from within because we're human. And we have inclinations and tendencies and desires of the flesh. So how do we know what's right? Jesus wants us to be filled with his spirit, that influence now is not just on the outside, but that there is an inner influence, an inner guide dwelling within us, teaching us the difference between right and wrong. But it is important for us this morning to examine the nature of the influences in our life. I could have titled it differently, and I gave it some consideration, and I kind of came full circle. But we're going to look at some of the nature of influences in our life to help us differentiate between the world and the flesh and what's really the Spirit of God. Well, the nature of something is the inherent character or disposition of it. It's a core identity. I've had some different pictures. Here there's a tree. You know, there is a nature of that tree. What makes an apple tree an apple tree? How do you tell what an apple tree is? By the fruit, isn't it? Did not Jesus teach us that by the fruit ye shall know them? You'll know people by their fruit. And we could go down, and as the Lord gave me this, and the Lord began to add to, and I was up early this morning with the Lord giving me more, and I thought, Lord, this could turn into another 3 or 4 part series. It was not necessarily my burden, so we'll see how the Lord leads today. But the what makes an apple tree is its core identity, its core nature. Because if you go and you hang an apple on an orange tree, it's still an orange tree, right? But when you see it bringing forth from the roots up, its identity, who and what that is, it identifies it. What about animals? Have a lion here. In a lamb, would you not say that there's a different nature between a lion and a lamb? I have not ever had sheep. I know some of y'all have. But sheep are fairly traditionally speaking, are fairly docile, are they not? They're fairly docile, and I'm going to feel much more comfortable stepping into a pen where there are sheep versus stepping into a pen where there are lions. Would you all agree with me there? And the reason for that is because their nature is so different. And I know sometimes you might have a rambunctious sheep, but the general nature is fairly docile, whereas just because a lion seems to be very quiet and is not roaring at the moment, I'm still going to be really careful. And I've heard stories of raccoons, for example. People try to make raccoons a pet. And I've heard multiple stories of different people that have tried this, and maybe it's worked for you, but please just get the point. People have taken a small raccoon, a baby raccoon, and tried to domesticate it. And for a while, it seemed like, oh, it's just like a kitty cat, or it's just like, you know, it seems so, it's nice, it's not wild, and we've domesticated. And I've read that raccoons get to a certain age, and they revert to their nature. And it is a wild nature. And they start causing destruction, and they're not so gentle anymore to have. It's because that's their core identity. Would it be fair to ask you this morning, what is your identity? I've got a church identity. Do we not? We can say we have a church identity. We put on our nice clothes and wear smiles and we sing. What are you like at home? What about your home identity? Who are you? What is your identity? Well, I want us to consider the nature of these different influences. So Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So if you take a wolf and you clothe them with like make them look like a sheep, are they really a sheep? No, it's an outward facade. Do you realize that people in religion and with tradition can do the same thing? We can dress a certain way, and so we look like a saint, if you'll give me that liberty. We look like a saint, but does that make us a child of God? Because the identity is something that comes from within. We can dress things up. If you put in, y'all, again, if I put on a pair of boots and put on a cowboy hat this morning, does that make me a cowboy? I'm probably as much of a cowboy as a lot of people you'll see in town dress that way, but there really are people that do this. I'm just saying that just because I were to dress a certain way does not make me actually that person. So we want to look at what is the core identity of the influences that are at work in our lives. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits." He was talking about false prophets. Is it enough for there to be a preacher that has charisma? For there to be a preacher that can really draw in the crowds? The preacher that can move people to tears? The preacher that you could just sit and listen to? And it didn't matter how much the clock went around because they are so interesting. Does that mean that they're a child of God? There's a lot of false prophets that have the ability to move people's emotions, and yet they're teaching false doctrine. So they're not doing the work of God. So Jesus said, look at the fruit. He said, every good tree bringeth forth what kind of fruit? Good fruit. And he said, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So this is how we identify the nature of something is look at the fruit. So when someone comes to influence you, someone or a principle of the world, and I'm not as interested in preaching some creative message this morning as I am in us getting down to where we live, okay? So the things that affect your life, and all of us are under influences, we need to take a step back and say, what is the nature of that influence? What's the nature of that influence? Is this something that will draw me closer to God? What is the fruit? I was concerned recently. I knew someone was giving some counsel or advice, it was my assessment, to someone. And I was concerned about the advice they were giving because I know how they're living their life. And I know the fruit that's there is not what I wanted to see in the person they were giving counsel to. And it really concerned me. Do you realize that when we get advice and counsel and people come and offer suggestions of how to live or not to live, or they give you spiritual, well, God does it. You don't have to do that. Take a step back. You do it with me too. But you take a step back and you measure the nature of that. Where is that coming from? Do we see the Spirit of the Lord in that person? If someone is giving you counsel and you follow their example, is that where you think God wants you to be? You see, this is personal assessment of the nature of things. People say, well, but don't judge me. No, Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. Judgment is part of living for God. Not a condescending, cutting off judgment. Not a judgmental attitude. But being aware of influences in our life that we would judge righteous judgment according to the Word of God. I trust that's clear. So let's start then with the nature of God. What is the nature of God? 1 Peter 1 verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means in all manner of life. I said I was going to preach where we live. Do you want to be like God in every manner of your life, or do you have some places you'd like to make a few exceptions? Would you be uncomfortable to raise your hands and answer questions to reveal that this morning? You say, that's getting a little personal, preacher. It does get personal. The Scripture teaches us that the nature of God is holy. It's pure. It's blameless. It's without defilement. It's sacred. It's set apart from all wickedness and uncleanness. God is a holy God. And the Scripture says, as he which is holy, so be ye holy in every part of your life. Every area. Doctrinally. In your decisions. In your choices. In how you talk. In how you dress. In what you listen to. In what you watch. In where you go. In every area of your life. Be holy, because that's the nature of God. And I look at that and say, it's impossible for me to do that in my own strength. But that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, was that inside there could be an influence of purity working within us, that as we yield to it, that holiness would become who we are because of the grace of God. Without holiness, no man shall what? See God. No man shall see the Lord. You realize that's something that's being taken out of new translations in the Bible today? Is the word holiness. Because people want to follow after their own way, and they don't want to live lives of purity and godliness. And so in the translations, they're starting, in some of them, not all of them, but some of them are starting to change the words, so it doesn't call us to as close to living as what the Scripture does. Holiness is not optional if we're going to follow God. And I fear that there are too many people, and this is not an accusation, it's an observation, that in the religious Christian world, there are too many people that will give part of their lives and do the things that the Scripture teaches, and then they have other areas that they want to minimize. Well, it doesn't really matter because they want to follow after their own thoughts and their own desires. In all manner of conversation, we have been called to be holy this morning. Do you realize that this gets past what gainsayers or naysayers, if you will, say about the church and rules and regulations and you can't do this. You have the right to do what you want to do because God created all of us as free moral agents. However, the scripture says, if you want to see God, you have been called to live a life of holiness. Don't blame it on the church. Don't blame it on the preacher. Because churches rise and fall. Congregations rise and fall. That would be a better way to say it. Ministries come and go. But the word of God is fixed and settled forever. And he's called us out of the world to live a holy life. So what is the nature of the influences that you have been under? Because all of us, there's influences working on all of us. And I want, Lord, to give us discernment to be able to recognize, yes, that's an influence, but I recognize the nature of it. I recognize the nature, the core identity of that thing. I want to be able to recognize it. So number one, the nature of God is holy. Are we in agreement? The nature of God is holy. What is the nature of man? What is the nature of unredeemed man? It's sinful, isn't it? The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jeremiah 17, and this is where you could have a whole series on each one of these little parts. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says it well. The heart is deceitful. And keep in mind, Jeremiah was speaking about the nation of Judah. But it was applicable to the condition of mankind. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ephesians chapter 2, 1. I want to back this by the word. It says that we were by nature the children of what? Of wrath. That was our nature. Unredeemed. Man without God. Relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden, they walked with God, did they not? And after sin came into the world, that relationship was broken. And it took the offering of blood and of goats, the blood of bulls and of goats, and then in the New Testament, it took the blood of Jesus to once and for all bridge the gap between man and God that we could once more be reconciled to God. But we're not able to do that in our own strength. We can come to churches, to services, go to the church down the road. You don't like what's preached here. You have the right to go somewhere else. But I want to warn you about influence this morning. You sit under the influence of someone that is not teaching the whole truth, it will affect you after a while. You seek counsel. You have someone talking in your ear that you don't need to live holy. You don't need to not do that. You don't have to go there. You, after a while, if you're not careful, you're going to start believing it. Identify the nature of what you're hearing. Identify the nature of it. Mankind's bent is to do wrong, is it not? Has anyone here that have had children had to teach them to be bad? Okay, let me tell you how to lie now. Okay, let me teach you how to take something that's not yours. Have any of us had to teach our children those things? Seemed to come pretty naturally, didn't it? So what do we have to teach our children? We teach them, we try to instill in them not to be selfish. We try to teach them, don't tell lies. Don't steal. Don't take things that are not yours. See, that the evidence is there. Mankind without God, unredeemed man, the nature tends to wickedness. It does not tend to holiness. It naturally does not go the way of holiness and purity of God. And so Jesus came to bring the plan of salvation that was to forgive us and to, remember, clean and fill, right? He came to cleanse us. He came to forgive us of our sin and fill us with His Spirit. Now listen to what the scripture says. Jesus said, you must be what? Born again. You need to go from the old nature to a new nature. And that's why the scripture talks at Colossians 3, verse 9, says, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. In other words, I was a lion. You take that multiple ways. I was a lion, but now through the blood of Jesus Christ and the infilling of his spirit, I put on a new man. I'm not a lion anymore. Now he's given me the spirit of a lamb. We all have different personalities, but through the blood of Jesus and the influence of the spirit and the work of the Spirit within us, it changes our nature. He gave us a new mind and a new heart. That's biblical, isn't it? I'll give you a new mind, a new heart. That's why coming to services somewhere will not make you a child of God. You can dress a certain way. You can come to services. You can be a good giver. You can pray every day, and that still does not change your nature. This is what salvation does, that it is God only, not following a list of rules of a church. It is a divine transformation of God that he does for me what I can't do for myself. That he came in and he changed my heart, and he gave me that now my desire and my tendency is not to go to sin. It's not to go back to the filth of the world. My nature and my tendency is, Lord, I want to please you. I'm still in the flesh, so I'm still tempted. I'm still in the flesh, so there's still an influence that will draw me away. But there is a greater power of the Holy Spirit, a greater influence within that enables our nature now to be tending and bent to the things of God. So we still have a battle, we still have temptations, but now there's an influence within us that he changed me. There's a new birth. And you don't get a new birth by going to church service. You don't get a new birth just by praying faithfully every day or reading your Bible. That does not bring about a new birth. A new birth is what a divine transformation that only God can do. People say, well, I was raised this way. You're still not born again. You may have been raised here in this truth that you must be born again to have your nature changed through the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then wants to lead us. So we have the nature of God, we have the nature of man. In the world, there's many voices, I said, many influences, passions at work. And if we're open this morning, this is only going to work if we're honest, all right? It's only going to work if we're honest. If we're honest before God and evaluate what pressures am I under? What's influencing me to act and do and think like I do? What influences are we all under? And identify then the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because we remember where we started, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you, and he's going to direct you. So how do I know? When I can recognize the nature then of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that it does not just say, I will fill you with the Spirit. It gave us something before Spirit throughout the Bible. It says Holy Spirit, doesn't it? That's the nature of the Spirit of God. It's holy. So when, this is getting down real practical now, when you have decisions to make and you've presented yourself to the Lord and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you still have choices to make. What influence will you say yes to? But now from within, the Holy Spirit is influencing and guiding, and you feel that inner draw. This is the way. And you feel that pull to something, identify it knowing it is the Holy Spirit There are lots of spirits. The Holy Spirit will always point us to ways of purity and godliness. And remember, the fruit is how we identify the nature, is it not? So we identify the fruit to understand the nature. The Holy Spirit will always lead us towards holiness. His nature defines his influence. Okay? I'm going to say that again. The nature of the Holy Spirit defines his influence in our life. So when we start asking, how do I know what's right? And how do I know if it's just my thinking or the influence of the world, or is this really God? Look at the nature of it. The nature of the Holy Spirit defines his influence. So there are different things at work. We're not going to take a lot of time. I want to mention a few things briefly for your consideration. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, it tells us the works of the flesh and how they're manifest. So we're still in the flesh, aren't we? Anybody here out of the flesh? We're going to have to wait to heaven to get exempt from the influences of the carnal flesh, all right? But we can be filled with a Spirit that can give us power through his nature within us to overcome the works of the flesh. What are some of them? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. In other words, the list goes on and on and on. And such like. Things that would influence you towards those things, the nature of that is not of God. That's the flesh. Okay, so how does that apply to what we watch and what we listen to and where we go? Is the nature of that influence, does it tend to adultery and fornication? Does it open the door? Does it look enticing to those things? Witchcraft? Strife. You know, when people striving and anger and that, is that the Spirit? Is that the nature of the Holy Spirit? It's not. So when I recognize those influences in my life, I want to recognize, okay, this is the flesh. Am I going to yield to the flesh, or am I going to yield to the Spirit? The influence of the Holy Spirit in our life is more powerful than the power of the flesh. You all believe that this morning? Whereas before, when you were unredeemed, adultery, fornication, idolatry. In other words, maybe I'm not talking about a golden calf now, but giving your time and your money and affections to something that you were almost serving that thing. It was almost a god to you. It was controlling you. That was the old man. Envying, drunkenness, wrath and strife. People that are just, they have a lion nature. The Lord came to transform that. That through his Spirit within us, that although we still have temptations to those things because we are in the flesh, we are no longer walking after the flesh, but that because of the influence of the Spirit in our life. We've been born again. He's transformed us. So we still have the temptation, but now we can walk in holiness. And the first thing that comes up when we're tempted is, Lord, I want to please you. So I'm in a fight now. I'm in a spiritual struggle because the flesh wants to do wrong and the Spirit within me is saying, this is the way. And it's leading to holiness, and our desire is for the things of God. We're not double-minded anymore. Lord, I want to please you. Do we make mistakes? Do we fall short of things sometimes, of the perfection of his grace? Yes, and that's called a journey of growth. And yet we are growing and becoming more like Christ because of the Spirit of the Lord working within us. So consider the influences. Consider very briefly then the nature of the world. There's the nature of the flesh, the nature of the world. 1 John chapter 2 says, love not what? Neither the things that are in the world. Don't talk about things. Well, the scripture does. There has been sometimes people say the preachers need to stay off those subjects, and all I can say is don't talk to me about it. Go talk to the Lord. Is that fair? Love not the world, saints, neither the things that are in the world. And then he gave us a list. He defined what the world was. He said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of what? It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. In other words, that's not the nature of God. The lust of the flesh, should that not change the decisions we make in our life? Lust of the flesh, fleshly pleasures that are sensual, impure, drugs, alcohol, gluttony, fornication, all of those things, the lust of the flesh. Just, I want what feels good at the moment. Not worried about where it takes me. I want what feels good. Unbridled passion. Folks, it's a lust of the flesh. Are we willing to identify those influences in our life and say, okay, that's not what I want to yield to then? What about the lust of the eye? Oh, you know, the lust of the flesh goes also, people talk about, we may say, well, I'm not committing fornication or adultery, but do you realize that this gets into even what we listen to and what we look at and even how we dress? You realize that? Is it the lust of the flesh? Tight clothing, immodest clothing, is not that lust of the flesh? And if you don't get it in lust of the flesh, it's the lust of the eyes then. That which glorifies the outside. Is not that what's motivating our world today? I don't see the saints as harping on the outside, do you? How often do you hear, well, you need to dress this way? It's not so. And yet, how do we identify what's inside? It's the fruit, isn't it? It's holiness, transformation, the nature of the God should work from the inside out. But then even in our dress and how we clothe ourselves and in where we go and what we do, it shouldn't be that which glorifies the outside. The pressure, especially for women today, but actually that's almost not even true anymore. It used to be more true. It's just as much on the men almost today than it is the women. And that's been a change in the last 15, 20 years, I think. But there's such a pressure to look a certain way. Are we trying to look like the world? Is that what's motivating us? I want to look like the world. And so they do it, and so I'm going to... What is the nature of the influence? So you don't need the preacher to go home and go through your closet. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to work in every area of our life, to lead us and guide us in truth. The lust of the eyes and then the pride of life, is not that the driving spirit of ambition today in our world? The pride of life, I want to have the, and nothing's wrong with having a nice house, do not misunderstand me. But people want to have a certain car in a certain look because they want people's perception of them to be a certain way. Are we trying to live to please people, or is our heart saying, Lord, above everything else, I want to please you? And I'm going to recognize that the nature of the world is seen through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So contrast those natures as we begin to wind down this message. Consider the contrast of the nature of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, is love and peace. It's joy, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's meekness, it's kindness. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And how often do we have to crucify those? Daily. Oh, as Paul said, I bring my body under submission. So that whereas I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. I have to bring myself under submission because we're still flesh and blood. But now because of a new birth, a transformation, and because of the influence of the Holy Spirit, there is now power to say no to the flesh. whereas before we did not have that kind of power. Today and now we have power to resist temptation. And the evidence then is that for, and do we ever fall, anybody here ever fall short of the fullness of love or joy or peace or long-suffering? Anybody ever fall a little bit short, or am I the only one that's ever fallen a little short there? Okay, there's a couple people nodding their heads. Okay, there's two of us. Thank God there's two of us. Do you realize that when your nature has been transformed and you fall short of the fullness of that fruit, of the nature of the Spirit within us, we don't cover it up. You don't justify it. You don't make excuses because your nature is to please God. So you come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I fell short here. Would you help me? Lord, I want to do better. I want to be stronger in this area in my life, Lord. And so then we begin to grow spiritually. We begin to advance. I'm not there yet, saints. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still flesh and blood. But there is an influence within us of the Spirit that will work and transform and change as we yield Him. So then, and again, I said there could be a series. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Now, I'm very strong on taking proper application of Scripture, all right? So just fair is fair. That Scripture is talking about identifying people that are influencing you. False prophets, for example. People that influence you, try the spirits. Is that okay to encourage you all to try the spirits? Don't get a judgmental attitude. Young folks, don't misunderstand this. And you just get this little, I'm just going to judge everybody in my life. And you start looking down your spiritual nose. That's not what he's talking about here. But the influences that you are under, it might be your family members. What's the nature of those that are trying to get you to do something or not do something? What's the nature of that? Is it tending to holiness, or is it the nature of the world or the nature of the flesh? So the Scripture says, try the spirits and see whether they be of God. And you read on through that passage there in 1 John 4, do you realize that hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So test the influences in your life this morning. Check the influences. Discern the nature behind the influences. Because these voices, these influences, some are pushing and some are pulling. And none of us are exempt from it. My dad used to tell us from young children up, he said, you put a rock under a dripping faucet, and after so many years, it's going to get a hole in it. Anybody here been under a dripping faucet of influence that the nature of it is not from the Holy Spirit? There's influences pushing on all of us. We've got to have the Holy Spirit within us to push those back, that we can recognize those spirits and say, Lord, I want to follow your Spirit. I still have to yield, and I still have to say yes, and that's for another day. But the Holy Spirit, as we conclude, the Holy Spirit will always lead us towards holiness. The flesh leads toward impurity. The world leads towards pride and towards self. So I'd just like to conclude by asking, what influences are at work in your life? We battle them. And sometimes we get weary of battling them. But I want to encourage you, don't stop battling. The victory can be yours through the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, that we can overcome all of these other pressures and influences and spirits that are in the world. Amen.